What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How are you?
Peachy. We've got a sensitive topic today, don't we? It could be, but it's not going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if everybody's heard about it. We're going to be talking about this virus thing called COVID. I don't know.
COVID.
Have you heard about it?
I think I heard about that a couple months ago. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
This is kind of an obvious topic. You know, it's timely, it's newsworthy, it's big, it's in everybody's mind. And it's taken us, 6 months to get around to doing it. And it's kind of an obvious one, but man, there are so many different ways we could go with this. But yeah, I think we'll be pretty straightforward with it.
Sure. Yeah. Before we jump into the COVID, though, I just wanted to give a quick update on our podcast episode that we did recently called The Dark Side of Brand.
Ooh, where, do tell.
Yeah, well, we were talking about brands that have risen to the occasion or have done a temperature check with their names or their products or their messaging to make sure that they're not offensive or anything like that. And so a couple other brands that have been changing or shifting that I noticed was one of them was Knorr. They're renaming their Gypsy Sauce, not calling it Gypsy Sauce anymore, to be sensitive, culturally sensitive. And Unilever is taking the word fair out of their product, Fair and Lovely.
So, interesting. Yeah. I guess if you use the phrase fair and lovely, it implies that you can only be lovely if you're fair.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I could see.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Washington Redskins have finally.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They finally succumbed to the pressure to change their name. So.
Yeah. Now we don't know what it is yet, but there's lots of continue to have people think about how they're impacting or making their customers feel,
right?
And how they are seen in the world. I think that the wave is big, and there are people who are doing things when they probably normally wouldn't. But I think that anytime that you're forced to think about your brand, that's a good thing. So
it is, and if you're listening right now and you're wondering what we're talking about, go back a couple episodes to the episode named The Dark Side of Brand, and we just talk about different shifts that brands are taking to up their marketing or renew their marketing to make sure that it's all culturally sensitive, and it's important for every company to do that once in a while. So have a listen to that. But now we're going to dive into today's topic with your brand and COVID-19. So Kevin, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Yeah. Of course, the impact of this is huge. The impact of the virus is pretty much huge on everything, and how the impact it has on a brand. You know, some things are pretty obvious, some things not so much. Yeah, we've talked quite a bit about in the past about in the last couple of episodes how every brand does need to do those temperature checks, like you said, and to see where they stand, just because things change, right? And certainly with COVID, we are no longer living in a world that even remotely looks like where we were just 7-8 months ago, right? So, like we said in our Dark Side podcast, we're not going to take a political stand on the COVID issue. You know, this topic is just steeped in politics, and we're not going to do that. We're going to take the kind of agnostic, neutral approach of
what do you do for your company, regardless of your political affiliation? So we're not going to take a political stand. But, you know, there's still a lot of issues to cover that are,
right,
nowhere near considered political, right?
Sure. So, I mean, even though we're not getting political about the pandemic, mm-hmm, I want to share a few things that irk me about the about the messaging around the virus, right? So
yeah.
I really, and I know that this is a personal thing for me, but I really dislike the term the new normal. So it might just be me, but I shudder a bit every time I hear this term. I think it's starting to be way overused, first of all, in marketing.
Yeah,
and cliche. And also, there's nothing normal about what's going on here. And, right, and I don't want this to become our new normal. Like, I want to go back to how we used to be pre-pandemic. And I understand that some things will never go back. I get it. Like, I mean, I'm not, you know, blind to that. Right.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the term. I don't like it. Yeah. I think it's just not, it's not conducive to what's going on. And like you said, it's starting to be cliche. So,
And I think that the people who are overusing it are not thinking about its overuse like cliches tend to do. And I also think that people who are using that word normal are referencing what you just said, that there are things that are not going to go back. And so things are different now, and they probably will continue to be different to a very large degree, even after a vaccine comes out. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. The new normal as a cliche phrase is, yeah, a little bit overused.
Yeah.
A lot overused, yeah.
But I do like the term pivot. So there's a lot of businesses that are pivoting during this difficult time, which is basically the rest of what we're talking about in this episode.
Hey, I got a new phrase, the new pivot.
The new pivot.
No, okay.
Start overusing that, right? But every business does need to be able to pivot and change with the times. You know, just like in that episode we were just talking about with the, you know, the dark side of brand and pivoting or changing your message when the times call for it. But I don't know about you, Kevin, but, you know, a few months ago, like, I was consistently shocked and somewhat pleased at how quickly some companies just jumped on getting their message out, and how, like, overnight their imagery changed. Like, you know, everybody in their commercials and things like that were wearing masks, and they started using all these, like, catchphrases and things like that. And it was just like, I'm constantly amazed at the companies that are right on the edge of that all the time and are ready to, like, change and, you know, pivot with stuff like that. And then, you know, a lot of people that kind of bring up the rear are a lot slower to talk about things and change their messaging.
We as marketers kind of are conditioned to watch the, you know, the current state of affairs in the business world, and we're constantly on the lookout for good things and bad things in the world of business, especially as it pertains to marketing. And I think that what you're describing, I totally agree with, wholeheartedly agree with you. You can watch companies just in your local area, you know, draw a 10-mile circle around you, and, you know, you've got hundreds of businesses to look at. You can pick out the ones that are so quick to respond, and you can pretty much safely predict that 90-95% of those companies, it's not the fact that they made a quick pivot. It's the fact that they made that pivot so quickly because they're thoughtful, they're on top of their brand, they're on top of their messaging, they're on top of their marketing. And those people, because of that mentality, not because of the pivot itself, is what's going to allow them to have a greater chance of succeeding in the future. And on the other side of that coin is the group of companies where you see them not just not pivoting, but completely ignoring the idea as if nothing. It's a business head in the sand, right?
Right.
And it's sad to watch that. I watched just right here in Western Michigan, I watched a local pizza company, and of all the companies that should not fail during a pandemic where restaurants were shut down and takeout was king for months, oh my gosh, how could a pizza place possibly fail? And yet, that's where they are, because they just refuse to adapt.
Right.
So.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed, too, locally, mostly is the companies that really did well early on and continue to do well during the pandemic were those that focused on lifting up their community and promoting other companies just as much as they were promoting their own. These companies have done so much better with their brand and their marketing and their visibility. And that's always a good part of your marketing strategy to be lifting up your community.
Give me an example of what you're talking
about. So there's a local company here called Paper Image, and they're a printing and marketing company. I work with them quite a bit. And they started printing like yard signs and door signs and things like that said, you know, we're open or open for takeout for all the local restaurants, so they could just put these signs out in front of their businesses so people knew that they're open. They gave them away for free to any restaurant or business in their community that wanted them. And they were like nice, quality, durable signs too. They were really nice. So they were doing that. And then they also just did a whole lot on their social media with just promoting other businesses. They've always done that, but they just stepped it up a little bit more and just tried to get, you know, because they've got a lot of followers. They've got a big audience. And so they used that to help, you know, all their other. And then another business I was working with is Weather Vane Roofing, and they're in the like the mid-Michigan area. They have a large area they cover, and they were buying up gift cards to local restaurants, some that were struggling, some that were doing better or whatever, but they bought a whole bunch of gift certificates and gift cards and were giving them away on their social media for, you know, for engagement and promos and things like that, like this post or comment on this post and enter to win these things. But they were basically supporting all their local restaurants by buying these gift cards. So there was a lot of that going on, which is, like I said, it's always good to have supporting your community as part of your marketing strategy.
Yeah, good. That's good stuff. You know, no better way to keep yourself top of mind in as a brand than to help other people and have them promote you because of the help that you've given. You know, when I say it like that, it sounds self-serving, but it really is the intelligent way to go. It is self-serving, but it is also helping other people. You know,
right.
Beautiful combo. Yeah,
absolutely. So with that being said, the things I like and don't like about the pandemic messaging, let's talk about how our listeners' companies can stay within brand and ride the wave of this pandemic with their marketing.
That's really such a key phrase, staying within brand. It's probably the most important thing that we would recommend as we all navigate these troubled waters of the COVID virus and all that it is. It is so easy to get pulled in a direction. You know, like if you just heard Amy talk about buying gift cards, you know, from local restaurants as a support to them, and that extends your own brand awareness, that's a great thing. But don't just do that because Amy said it. You know, who does that? Listen to Amy.
What do I know?
No, you do it because it's a strategy that fits within your marketing plan, your social media plan, your messaging. And when you take a tactic like that, you want to do it within brand. So the COVID issue, the whole COVID virus, has kind of thrown the entire world for a loop. And people don't feel safe. You know, there's paranoia, there's stress, there's fear, there's angst. Oh, it's craziness. The world is a crazy place right now. So it would be very easy to be drawn to countering those ideas, you know, trying to make people feel safe when they don't otherwise. Well, that sounds like a great idea, especially if you're a mother archetype. But we're not all mother archetypes, you know. It would be a very bad thing to try to make people feel safe and warm and fuzzy and secure if you're a jester archetype or if you're a ruler archetype. So probably the most important thing we can say during this episode is, regardless of what tactics you take to try to counter the challenges that we face because of COVID, stay within brand. Just don't mess around with that. Most important thing, right?
Yeah. So think about COVID. Think about how your business has changed or pivoted with it, and then think about what you want your audience and your clients and customers to know, and then think about how you can relay that message within your archetype or your brand if you don't have an archetype yet. So an example of this would be that roofing company I mentioned earlier. When they bought the gift cards, they are the magician archetype. So we the messaging that we crafted was things like, who wants to make dinner? Let it magically appear at your doorstep with one of these, you know, gift cards or something like that. Yeah. And we still, even though we were, you know, supportive and lifting up the community, we were still magically talking about their message.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's cover some of the changes that companies have been forced to make and discuss them in the context of brand management.
Which companies have to change? What?
Right.
What?
No, no, Kevin, they have to pivot.
Oh, that's right. The lingo.
Right. Right. But one of the biggest things that companies have had to think about are their operational changes. So some have really shifted from brick and mortar businesses to more online sales, shifting from office spaces to remote workspaces. The need to consider masks and social distancing, and then also along with that, working from home kind of thing is that flex time, working from home options, and talking about that. And then just, you know, getting the message out there that they're still in business, they're still here for people, they're working, you know, they're producing their products and services and things like that. So that those are some of the things to consider.
And so what we're saying here is all of these things that we're listing, you know, like operational changes, you have to consider how they impact your brand. You know, so if you're shifting from brick and mortar to online sales, you know, that means your sales team, they're in working as individuals instead of as a team in a cube farm, you know, and how does that impact the consistency of the messaging? And is everybody staying on script? And is everybody staying within the parameters of how you want to operate as a company? And that's just one little change, but that's kind of a point we're making, right? That these changes have to be considered. Yeah. So I would also throw in changes to marketing. You know, there is a lot of, like we said earlier, you know, we were talking about the mother archetype, making people feel warm and fuzzy. There is the opportunity for an addition to your marketing mix or a shift to philanthropic marketing, like you were saying with the company that bought the gift cards. Helping out other people is a good thing in these times, right?
Right.
And of course, probably the biggest change to our marketing is, it's just a massive explosive addition onto what's already been happening for the past 15, 20 years, is a shift away from traditional media to online and social media. So holy cow, if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously a little bit tech savvy because you're listening to a podcast. But if you haven't made a massive shift over to social, then now is the time. Absolutely, now is the time to do that.
Right. Everybody's sitting at home on their computers a lot more. Yeah. And then it's really important, too, to consider if these changes are going to be temporary or permanent that you're making.
Yeah.
So, you know, an example is we're seeing a lot of changes in education with a lot of schools moving to online and distance learning and things like that. How long is this going to happen? Is this going to stick? Is this going to be more common post-pandemic, or are most schools going to go back to in-person teaching, you know, that kind of thing? Schools are in such a predicament right now, figuring all that out. But if you have a, you know, not a school, but you're a business or things like that, and like what you just said, Kevin, shifting from traditional to media to online and social, it's some of that shift should stay permanent, you know, upping your social and things like that, because that's, pandemic or no pandemic, that's just the way marketing is going.
Absolutely.
And this is a good reason to make that shift if you haven't.
Yeah, even if it's not marketing, you know, like the example, I think we talked about it last week, where the whole COVID issue and people staying at home to work or work at home option. I was just speaking with one of my neighbors this last week, and She's an executive for a very large hotel chain. I shall not name it, but because it's an internal communication. But they're making the decision that their headquarters and their entire process is more than likely going to stay remote, that they're not going to return to the big brick and mortar headquarters, you know, or they'll dramatically pare it down. And this was because the processes that they've put in place to allow their employees to work remotely are working so well, and there are so many efficiencies and there are so fewer costs. And so that discussion led to the next discussion was, wow, what's going to happen to all of these big downtown city high-rise buildings that are all clustered together for the sake of efficiency? You know, are they going to get filled up post-pandemic? Are people going to return to that kind of workplace? And it's a big question. So we're definitely seeing changes to how people think about their businesses. I think that the biggest change that we've seen so far in business is, you know, like you just said about education, that whole distance learning thing. My wife is a former retired 30-year teacher. She looks at what her younger cohorts are doing right now. She's very much enjoying the fact that she's not having to go through all of that new learning. But boy, are they having to learn how to do things differently. And the biggest change is their communication, how they communicate with the students, how they communicate with their other staff members, with parents. That's a big deal. And I think that all businesses, that's the biggest rub right now that they're facing is, you know, how do we change the way that we pass information and communicate with it? You know, things like Zoom. You know, I don't know if you've looked at what has happened to the Zoom stock price in the last 4 months. Holy cow.
Right.
big changes there. You know, so that's how we coordinate meetings now. Everybody is pretty super comfortable with Zoom and GoToMeeting and all those ideas. And, you know, collaboration, how we collaborate. It's not just email anymore. It's not just picking up the phone, although those always work. But things like Slack and online collaborative tools are helping us make these changes as well. So, you know, always be keeping an eye out for the next opportunity of improving your communication and improving your technology protocols, right?
Right. That's true. And then also the other thing that a lot of, you know, businesses have all had to consider is, you know, just talking about the virus and dealing with the virus itself within their business and within their, you know, their staff and their teams and things like that. Like, having the planning and consideration and thinking about the questions like, what do we do if our employees get infected? What do we do if we get caught up in the chaos of those kinds of things? You know, and so a lot of companies in order, like at least in Michigan, in order to go back to work, especially the contractors and people like that, they had to have a written plan that had to include certain things. And there was guidelines that were put out by our government, but also by the industry standard, you know, organizations like the Home Builders Association and things like that. These standards were put out and saying, like, you have to tell people, like, what masks you're wearing and how you're going to do this and how you're going to safeguard that. And they had to have this all up in writing and submit these things before they could even go back to work. So depending on what kind of business you have to keep that updated. That's one more thing you've got to have available for your employees, and that everybody knows what the protocol is and things like that. But one of the things that you might not have thought about in all of this too is talking to your staff about their own participation or getting caught up in things like protests, riots, walkouts, not doing political gaffes or postings, you know, because everything your employees do online and in their social media can reflect your business, right? Having some kind of standard about that and having a discussion about what they're doing and saying online. And it's not like they can't have their own opinions or things like that, but they have to.
You
always
mean like the Goya CEO and the nightmare he stepped into?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's that. I think that could be classified as a political pitfall.
You know? Right. Right.
Yeah.
So it's important to have those discussions with your team about that, so that they understand how that can reflect on the company.
Especially, there is so much disinformation right now from every possible source, from every angle. We said it earlier, this topic of COVID response and its impact on our culture, especially on businesses, is so deep and is so monumentally huge. You don't want to get caught up in the politics. And again, we're not doing the politics thing here, but there's a lot of disinformation out there. And so especially with issues like, what if you get infected? You know, like, how are you going to have literal temperature checks of employees coming to and from work? What masks are required? How strict are the mask requirements? You know, if you're, you know, things like, you know, break room etiquette, right, and restroom etiquette.
Right. This is all like, you know, internal marketing and internal, right, information that you need to,
right,
to, but, convey, you know, to your teams.
You know, how if a person has a temperature, what is your company's protocol? And notice that this entire episode, we've been talking about the topics that need to be considered, marketing and, you know, whether the changes are permanent or not, and, you know, operational issues. We've listed things to consider, but we haven't told you how to think, because it's your company and every company is different. We've got, you know, Monpa 2 employee operations listening right now, and, you know, executives from multinational, multi-trillion dollar companies. Or billion dollar companies. It's a big, big range that, and we can't give advice, specific advice to all companies. But we can, you know, we're doing our best to try to list out topics to consider. Right.
Right. And I think, you know, we're basing this episode around the topic of COVID-19, but it's important to remember that, like we said earlier, like, that, you know, being ready for any kind of shift or being ready to pivot whenever any major thing happens like this. And this is a good way, if this is the first major thing that's happened since you've owned a business, this is a good chance to put some processes in place for, you know, the next time something like this happens. It might not be a pandemic. It might just be something else, even in something that shifts in your market space, something like that. And so, some of the things that you can do to speed up your ability to adapt to new situations are, like, evaluating how you've handled this process, what you did good, well, what you could do better, continually doing those evaluations and taking those temperature checks of your brand all the time. You can do a SWOT analysis of your brand.
That sounds
and your company.
Familiar. Where have I heard that phrase?
Yeah,
before?
Right. SWOT, we do that with every different archetype. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, your competitive research should always be part of your marketing plan, looking at what your competition's doing, what they're talking about, how they're shifting or pivoting, and staying in tune with your space and your industry. And along with your competitive research, of course, is just your market research as well. And then don't forget to talk with customers, like, check in with your customers on a regular basis, what they like about your company, what they'd like to hear more about from your company, if there's questions you can answer. All that kind of stuff, because your customers and your clients are your best way to find out how your marketing is working.
Okay, so let me say this. I'm going to say it. It's going to be funny. You're going to chuckle, and then I'm going to comment on it. If it wasn't for these damn customers, I would really have an awesome business.
Okay. Well, yeah. There's always those pesky online reviews you have to consider.
That's right. But I say that tongue in cheek, because I see so many people, they would never overtly say that because it's so ludicrous to hear someone use those words.
Right.
But that's how they behave.
Yeah.
That's how they behave, that their customers are the enemy. And, like, oh, God.
Right.
I kind of, the point of bringing that up is I totally agree with you that if you are not continually doing evaluations of all types, whether it's SWOT or competitive analysis or market research, you're probably caught up doing business. You're, and if if you're not touching base with customers and doing all these other evaluations, you're just doing busy work is what you're doing. You're not actually doing business. Yeah, totally agree with it.
Yeah, so you're not tapping into that emotional connection that you have with your clients and customers, which brings us full circle to how brand archetypes and picking an archetype can really focus your marketing and keep that emotional connection on top of mind all the time when you do your marketing. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You said the word speed when you started talking about evaluations, you know, the speed to adopt to new situations. Brings to mind, if listeners are not familiar with marketing guru David Meerman Scott, years ago he wrote a book called Newsjacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of the book was, if something happens in the news today or 5 minutes ago, is it possible creatively to think about how you can newsjack that idea and not do something crazy, not do something silly or that's damaging to your brand, but actually ride the inevitable wave over the next couple of hours to couple of days? They rarely last for more than a week or two. But if you can hitch yourself onto a news cycle wave, in a powerful way, that's a beautiful thing if you can do it. So there's a lot, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of things that hit the news every day.
Right.
Every single day now.
Lots of noise out there.
Lots of noise. But because of these short bursts of attention that these news stories are getting because of COVID-19 and politics, be very careful, but don't be afraid to try to latch on to these things.
Right.
So, you know, again, be careful. Don't tap into the negative news. That you have to stay within brand. We cannot say that enough. You know, let me give you an example. Let's say, some new Journal of American Medical Association article comes out talking about the impact of the COVID virus on the heart muscle. You know, that was one from a few weeks ago. Let's say you're a cardiologist or you sell or manufacture nutritional supplements, or you're a health and fitness coach. It really doesn't matter, you know, whether you're a solopreneur new service or a seasoned, you know, multi-decades medical professional. As a business, as a brand, you could tap into that news article by demonstrating your expertise or the benefit of your product in a situation like that. And then let's say a cardiologist taps into that and, you know, makes some comment about the impact on cardiac muscle health. And, you know, if the COVID virus is indeed doing this, how can we, you know, alleviate those issues? So this person is now, in the immediacy of this news cycle, demonstrating their expertise. And let's say, you know, ABC or CBS or Fox News or CNN picks them up and they say, hey, we want to talk to you about your expertise. Wow, what does that do to your brand, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
but you got to do it fast. You can't wait 3 days and watch four other people do it and then think that you're going to be successful at doing it. This is one of these, you got to do it now things.
Right. And just to recap, for those who are listening that didn't catch that, the book that Kevin is referring to is called Newsjacking, and it was written by David Meerman Scott, if you're interested in reading that book. Yeah. So, before we wrap this up and move on with our day, I just wanted to throw out there that we wanted to mention your social media plan. I know that we talked earlier about how that's the direction that marketing is going, and a lot of people have really upped their social media marketing through this whole pandemic, or this would be a good opportunity to start more social media marketing if you haven't really jumped on that bandwagon yet. So some of the things you need to think about are if your networks are growing, if you're gaining more followers, it's always good to always be gaining more followers, because you could put the best and most amazing marketing stuff out there on your platforms. But if you don't have anyone following you, they're not going to see it.
No, I can hear there are agency people and marketing people out there, and there or people who have gone through this process successfully, and they're all saying, it's not about the size of the networks. It's about the engagement. It's not about the size of the networks. Well, yes, that is true. But let me point out that a large network is easier to work than a small network.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. I mean,
okay, that's the simple perspective. But yeah, you should... let's say you have a network size of, 10,000, and one of your competitors has a network size of 10 million. Big difference, a thousandfold increase in size. It's not that the 10 million automatically, without question, are better than the 10,000, because you can point out, well, what if it's the 10,000 of the right people and 10 million of the absolute wrong people? Well, yeah, that's true. We're not just saying grow your networks willy-nilly. We're saying grow your networks thoughtfully. And a large percentage of your networks should be highly, highly targeted, right? So as you bring up grow your networks, I know that people are thinking that, so let's just go out and say it. Grow your networks thoughtfully.
Right, and it's all about, gaining followers and engagement at the same time. Those should be done hand in hand, right? Yeah, and then the also thing, pay attention to whether your website and your social platforms are gaining traffic, if that traffic is increasing. I mean, you'd like it to increase like 100 or 1,000-fold or whatever, but I mean, even a little bit of an increase in traffic is always in the right direction. You want to be paying attention. You don't want it to stagnate. You don't want to lose followers, or you don't want to be just sitting there dead in the water not doing anything. Like, you should regularly be paying attention to traffic. Hold on.
Are you saying that I should drive traffic from my social media platforms to my website?
Oh, insider trade secret. No, yes, that is the goal. Yeah. So without making this all about your social media marketing plan, I just wanted to throw that out there that this is a great opportunity right now while people are more at home and things are shifting in the world in so many ways. This is one area where you could really gain some ground right now in your marketing, is to really, really take a long, hard look at your social media plan and see where you can increase, what you can do to increase that.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. Okay. So if you have questions, I would expect that we're going to have a lot of people ask questions, because we didn't give a whole lot of really pointed, here's what you do step by step. We just gave you a lot to think about. And nothing wrong with that, but I expect we're going to get quite a few questions. So if you do have questions, feel free to reach out to us. Contact us on all our social platforms. If you have a need for the word list after you go through the questionnaire, and by the way, the questionnaire to figure out your archetype is at brandarchetypes.com. Just use the menu at the top of the page and take the questionnaire. You'll get some direction on what archetype or archetypes might be useful to you. And if you want the word list that go with that archetype, you can contact us. They're available $29.95. And of course, follow us on all those social platforms, right?
That's right. We will look forward to your questions. Let's keep talking about this.
Okay. And I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.